too. Damn thing's rusted to hell. Those look like hydraulic lines. Must be 1,000 years old. Fitz muttered the last, the oil man's words whistling through gaps left by missing teeth. The miners and mechanics who had kept their distance during the digging now crowded against Juliet's back as she aimed her flashlight through a lingering veil of powdered rock and into the gloom beyond. Raff, as pale as the drifting dust, stood beside her. The two of them crammed into the conical crater, chewed out of the 5 or 6 feet of concrete. The albino's eyes were wide, his translucent cheeks bulging, his lips pursed together and bloodless. "You can breathe, Raff," Juliet told him. "It's just another room." The pale miner let out his air with a relieved grunt and asked those behind to stop shoving. Juliet passed the flashlight to Fitz and turned from the hole she'd made. She wormed her way through the jostling crowd, her pulse racing from the glimpses of some machine on the other side of the wall. What she had seen was quickly confirmed by the murmuring of others. Struts, bolts, hose, plate steel with chips of paint and streaks of rust. A wall of a mechanical beast that went up and to the sides as far as their feeble flashlight beams could penetrate. A tin cup of water was pressed into her trembling hand. Juliet drank greedily. She was exhausted, but her mind raced. She couldn't wait to get back to a radio and tell Solo. She couldn't wait to tell Lucas. Here was a bit of buried hope. "What now?" Dawson asked. The new third shift foreman, who'd given her the water, studied her warily. Dawson was in his late 30s, but working nights had saddled him with extra years. He had the large knotted hands that came from busting knuckles and breaking fingers, some of it from working and some from fighting. Juliet returned the cup to him. Dawson glanced inside and stole the last swig. "Now we make a bigger hole," she told him. "We get in there and see if that thing's salvageable." Movement on top of the humming main generator caught Juliet's eye. She glanced up in time to spy Shirley frowning down at her. Shirley turned away. Juliet squeezed Dawson's arm. "It'll take forever to expand this one hole," she said. "What we need are dozens of smaller holes that we can connect. We need to tear out entire sections at a time. Bring up the other excavator, and turn the men loose with their picks, but keep the dust to a minimum if you can help it." The third shift foreman nodded and wrapped his fingers against the empty cup.
"No blasting?" he asked.
"No blasting," she said. "I don't want to damage whatever's over there." He nodded, and she left him to manage the dig. She approached the generator. Shirley had her coveralls stripped down to her waist as well, sleeves cinched together, her undershirt wet with the dark inverted triangle of hard work. With a rag in each hand, she worked across the top of the generator, wiping away both old grease and the new film of powder kicked up by the day's digging. Juliet untied the sleeves of her coveralls and shrugged her arms inside, covering her scars. She climbed up the side of the generator, knowing where she could grab, which parts were hot, and which were merely warm. "You need some help?" she asked, reaching the top, enjoying the heat and thrum of the machine in her sore muscles. Shirley wiped her face with the hem of her undershirt. She shook her head. "I'm good," she said. "Sorry about the debris." Juliet raised her voice over the hum of the massive pistons firing up and down. There was a day not too long ago when her teeth would have been knocked loose to stand on top of the machine, back when it was unbalanced 6 ways to hell. Shirley turned and tossed the muddy white rags down to her shadow, Callie, who dunked them into a bucket of grimy water. It was strange to see the new head of mechanical toiling away at something so mundane as cleaning the genset. Juliet tried to picture Knox up there doing the same. And then it hit her for the 100th time that she was mayor. And look how she spent her time, hammering through walls and cutting rebar. Callie tossed the rags back up, and Shirley caught them with wet slaps and sprays of suds. Her old friend's silence as she bent back to her work said plenty. Juliet turned and surveyed the digging party she'd assembled, as they cleared debris and worked to expand the hole. Shirley hadn't been happy about the loss of manpower, much less the taboo of breaking the silo seal. The call for workers had come at a time when their ranks were already thinned by the outbreak of violence, and whether or not Shirley blamed Juliet for her husband's death was irrelevant. Juliet blamed herself. And so the tension stood between them like a cake of grease. It wasn't long before the hammering on the wall resumed. Juliet spotted Bobby at the excavator's controls, his great muscled arms a blur as he guided the wheeled jackhammer. The sight of some strange machine,
some artifact buried beyond the walls, had thrown sparks into reluctant bodies. Fear and doubt had morphed into determination. A porter arrived with food, and Juliet watched the young man with his bare arms and legs study the work intently. The porter left his load of fruit and hot lunches behind and took with him his gossip. Juliet stood on the humming generator and allayed her doubts. They were doing the right thing, she told herself. She had seen with her own eyes how vast the world was, had stood on a summit and surveyed the land. All she had to do now was show others what was out there, and then they would lean into this work rather than fear it.